Good morning, welcome to our coming round the Word of God this morning. Shall we open in prayer? Lord God, we just thank you that your Word is truth, Lord God. And that, Lord, by your Spirit, you lead us into all truth. And so we ask you, Lord, to guide us and to keep our minds and our spirits, Lord God, in tune with yourself, that we might walk in accordance with your Word and your truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at something I've entitled Truth in a World of Cynicism. And I think it's so appropriate right now because on every turn in life at the moment, there seems to be just lies, blatant, absolute, disprovable lies presented as what's supposedly truth. I suppose the most blatant one that we see currently is the so-called special operations in the Ukraine, as the Russians will insist that they call it from their population. And if you don't call it that, if you call it a war, you'll end up with 15 years in jail. And yet we call it a war or an invasion. Our people say this is what's right, and their people are saying the other. Who's telling the truth? Now, you have a strong expectation and understanding of what you believe it is. But it just illustrates how propaganda out there will push a certain point of view and whole masses of population will begin to believe it. Goebbels was a master of this in the Second World War, changing the whole way that society looked at things. And so there's so many lies in our generation. I've often called it, it's not me who titled it, the post-truth generation. I heard it on talks once we started to hear about President Trump a few years back. It became that because there are so many lies out there. We see today lying to Parliament has no consequences. You see lies from the right of politics, lies from the left. And so you're left in a position as an individual as to say, well, what's true? How can we discover the root of truth? And otherwise we become cynical. And I have to say, the worst area in all the lies that can be there is in the area of religion. Because this truth or lie will hang the destiny of our souls. And so it's so important that we understand truth and that actually we don't become cynical in such a world where truth is lacking, but we can see what's right and wrong, but not change our hearts and our spirits by it all. And that's the danger when we hear so many lies time after time and time again. In Scripture, we find a cynical man in the form of Pontius Pilate, a politician, a man who's obviously been used to all the machinations of government and all the power plays that's there. He's got himself into a position and he's encountering Jesus in John chapter 18, 37. And it says this, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Here's the cynical man, but yet Jesus has made an impression on him. And if you read around the whole Gospels of what Pilate and his wife went through, you can see they were a little concerned about Jesus and who he was and what he was about. But here he is in his politician's role. As soon as Jesus talks about it, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And that stands. That's Jesus's words. That stands today. Everyone who hears his voice, hears him, he hears truth. So here we have, right at the beginning of what I'm talking about, a pointer to the actual answer to what we need. We need to hear the voice of Jesus in everything. We have pointed out to us what the scripture actually says about our circumstances, about our ways, about our actions, about our inactions, about what we should and we shouldn't do. When you see that, then you are functioning according to truth. Pilate didn't know that, so he makes a cynical comment. What is truth? And I can sort of understand Pilate's viewpoint if you look at it from an unsaved worldly point of view. When you see what's out there, like I described at the beginning of this sermon, so many conspiracy theories for this, conspiracy theories for that, and they'll put together their videos and they'll mistime them and misplace them to create a pitch around something, and people say, well, what's truth? What is truth? But we, you and I, as Christians, we find truth in Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, it says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through him. So here we have a huge contingent of what is true to tell us that you can look around all varieties of religions that's out there, but you might as well save yourself a lot of time. But obviously, if you've got an open mind, you're going to say, well, I'm not just going to take what you say. I'm going to look around. Fair enough. But you look into it. But Jesus Christ, excuse me, declares himself to be the only way, the truth, the absolute truth, and the life. So here we have, he was either a madman or he was God. And you have to make that choice. And you can see from the lifestyle of those that follow him, that it makes a difference. All other religions are not the way to God. They are not the pathway. They are not. It's not like a tree with many branches. And no, there is only one way. It's exclusive. It's not popular, but like I said, you can't change truth, can you? If you do, you try to, like many do, even in the so-called Christian circles, they will engage in all manners of all types of religions because they're all going in the same direction. They're not. They're clearly not. John 8 and 32 says this, and you shall know the truth. That's a good start. But he doesn't leave it there. And he says this, and the truth will make you free. You see, if you don't know the truth, you are building on a false foundation. Whatever you do and whatever you say and however you act, from what you've accepted as something, but as a lie, it is a wrong foundation, isn't it? But if you've got truth as that foundation, you've got something solid to build upon. Anything built on a lie is bound to collapse. It's bound to fall flat. It will not stand the test of time. It will not set you free because the decisions you make from a false assumption lead you up a false path and take you away from security. Okay. In Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 16, and I spoke on this a few weeks back about trust from this scripture, but it fits in with what we're talking about truth here as well. It says, for this reason, excuse me, I need to get a drink. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that I should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-centered, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince those that contradict. I'm going on for a little bit more about this scripture in a moment, but just say why I've said this. These are the qualities. There are two places in scripture, and this is one of them. Timothy, I can't remember the other right now. I think it's Timothy, but never mind. Of the qualifications of men that should be leading the church. It doesn't matter what the Church of England or the Catholic Church or the other denominations out there say about how you become a leader in the church. Scripture tells us this. And the failure on this part to follow this truth has caused multiplicity of difficulties in the church throughout the ages, not least of all false doctrines. We see he's telling us there needs to be these qualities in the men of God. Why? So that they are able to bring forth. They've learned the true doctrine. This is what he's telling them. There's character traits in these men, and they've got the true doctrine, and they then will be able, by sound doctrine, by what is true from the scripture, to exhort, in other words, to encourage you, this is the truth, go for that. And convince those who contradict. So then they say, well, I don't think that. Well, they give it to them through the scriptures and bring them to understanding. It's not just I say this, so therefore you must. No, it's through the scripture. Through sound doctrine. They're able to have those qualities in their life, in their leadership, functioning in the church. Then they out. Then in Titus, he then outlines the problems that is also too common in the churches today. Picking it up again at verse 10. Four. So obviously when you say four in scripture, it's telling you there's something gone before, and that's what we were just looking at right now. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, who turn from the truth to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but their mind and consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So they've come in, people in the church who have not fitted the qualifications that the apostle has put down in writing here to Titus. And he's saying, you know, they come out with all sorts of stuff. They even call their own, the people of Crete, they're calling them all liars, beasts, and lazy gluttons. Well, that might have been true, I don't know. But nevertheless, what is the point of that? It's like going on about the sin and not giving them redemption. This, and he says, this testimony is true. Therefore, so as a consequence of what their actions are, this is what needs to take place. He says this, rebuke them sharply. Oh, we don't have that in the church. Well, what's wrong with your church then? I said, well, I can say, if it's in scripture, don't give me your fancy, airy-fairy feelings and your little emotions that's all upset and don't want to confront stuff. You're in the wrong religion, folks. Christianity is about confronting lies with truth. And here it is, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. In other words, they're not sound right now. They're acting like the unsaved. They're not in that secure place. They're in a really dangerous place right now. And saying they're giving heed to fables, that they are functioning out of the commandments of men. That's religion for you all over. Commandments of men. It's nothing to do with scripture, but they like it, so that's what they'll do. Who turn, and here's the issue, they turn from the truth. They know the truth, here is the truth, but no, we would rather just do it a little bit different. We'd rather do it a different way. We'd rather have it an easier way. We'd rather do without this confrontation stuff. If we're going to confront, we'll confront over the wrong stuff. It says, who turn from the truth. That's the issue. They are, and if they're in leadership, they're not only turning themselves from the truth, they're diverting other souls away from what is true. Now, I'll say at this point, you are responsible for your own soul. It is, you know, it's not a leader or your father or your mother or your brother or your sister that's going to ultimately be the arbiter of your choices. You are. But all of those others do have a responsibility in bringing truth. We shouldn't be causing others to stumble. Really important. So, they profess to know God, he says, but in their works, what they do, denies him. And to God, he says, God says this, it isn't just a little mistake in the way they interpret the Bible and they're all saved, really. No, the Bible says they're abominable, disobedient, and disqualified from every good work, which is slightly different, isn't it? See, we need to read the scriptures. If you want truth, you need to read the scriptures like they truly are. Okay. He tells them what he must do in this circumstance. Rebuke them sharply, they're disqualified. We're not having this. We're doing it the right way. And you can do it the right way, or you can make another decision. But in this place, in this church, this is the way it's going to be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the issue, isn't it? They be rebuked sharply, sharply. Oh, you don't raise your voice in church. Well, do you not remember Jesus? Who's that strange fellow that we're supposed to believe in? You know, that went into the temple twice in his ministry and made a whip of cords. Twice. Didn't just do it once and think, oh, I shouldn't have done it that way. Oh, I was a bit harsh with the money changers. No, he did it earlier on and he did it later on. He gave them chance to change, and when they had, he went back again. This isn't on. You see, we need to function as the church is intended to function. It's not the church has become something it ought not to be. It's become, as it were, a roosting place for all kinds of unclean birds. A focal point for that which should not be. They need dislodging. They need removing. They need eradicating from the church. But because of the pervasiveness of these kinds of men and these kinds of teachings today, the church is weak. I've said to you many, many times, don't consider yourself a strong Christian on the basis of the churches around about you and the Christians around about you. Look at how strong a Christian you are in accordance with the word of God. And we'll all find ourselves needing a little bit more. Today it's weak. Confused as to what is right. Accepting unrighteousness as righteousness. And all kinds of practices in the church that should not be there, that are not wholesome, that are not right, that are not scriptural. They are unwholesome and ungodly, yet they now go as normal way of going and worshipping and accepting and approaching God. It's not right. See, because truth isn't adhered to in a church, many are deceived. Never have so many lies been told by so few, to misquote Churchill. We live in a world full of deceit, of deliberate deception, of half-truths, of lies at the highest levels of society and in the basic lives of people, you and me. Lies just pour out of them. They don't even know they're lying. They're so used to lying, it's hard for them to know what is true. They even believe their own lies. How deceived can you get? You see, it's easy to be cynical. A person who shows or expresses a bitterly or sneeringly cynical attitude, having a general lack of faith or hope in humanity as a whole. And quite frankly, if I wasn't saved, I understand that. Because in truth, The answer isn't in the politicians. The answer isn't in the Pope's mediation. The answer isn't in all the things that men put forth. The answer is only through Jesus Christ. See, lies are the common breath of so many in society. To point out, they don't even realise, as I said, they don't tell a lie. The internet is a tremendous place for good and bad. It's like a lot of things in life. They have tremendous potential, negative and positive. And yet we see on it that it's full of conspiracy theories, as I mentioned already. Fraudsters who steal other people's money, break into their accounts. I was just so annoyed this week. We had two phone calls this week. Did you know? I have renewed my Amazon account at £89 that I don't even have. And also that our Sky account has gone up amazingly. And we need to do something. I have neither Sky nor Amazon accounts, but apparently there is something going on there. But amazingly, the phone was put down immediately. Why? Because they're trying to scam me. They're trying to steal my money. They're trying to break it. And they do. And they have, what do they call it? Like a boiler room. A room full of people on the manning the phones in places like Mumbai and the rest of it, all over the place. They're doing this fully knowing they're scamming people. What's your job? Well, I'm an internet scammer. Is that on your passport? You know, this is what, but it's out there. I really don't understand how it's allowed to go. Let's go off that. They do that. People on the internet pretending they love you. They've seen a photo of you. Oh, and you put your details up on the love profile app or whatever it might be out of the millions that's out there. And immediately this person who's got this wonderful picture and wonderful profile, they're there and they're saying sweet, wonderful things down your ear. It's probably some old ugly fat bald bloke way out somewhere out in Kazakhstan. But his picture, it's wonderful. And here you are, and they're scamming you for money, pretending they love. They've always got a problem. Oh, my brother needs an operation. Oh, this has gone wrong. Oh, I've got to make all this money, but at the moment my account's frozen. But if you let me have a couple of grand, it'll all sort out. Lies, 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 and more lies. But of course, you can always buy some Bitcoin, and that'll sort it all out for you too. No wonder people are cynical. Experience from the left to the right, from the middle to the centre to the... It's all a pinnacle of lies and selfishness and untrustworthy motives. In this atmosphere, faith in Christ has to operate. Amongst it all! It has to shine like a light in a dark place. As scripture tells us, it's to be salt in an unsavory place. We are salt and light, a preservative in that society which can be trusted. A place, a refuge, where those that come in can find a safe place, a safe harbour, a place where the moral character is not eroded to the point of brokenness. That the gospel of truth may be the light to the harbour of safety in stormy days. We're living in stormy days, friend. Truth being the arbiter of what is and what should be, the linchpin that holds all things together in righteousness. Truth. That's what the church is meant to be. That place where those things can be seen. You know, this week I've heard commentaries about the possibilities of nuclear war. I don't get much worse than that, does it? And people are hearing this, and I have to say to you, this is a great opportunity for the gospel to shine. As people have seen that one week that those people, unfortunate people in the Ukraine, that 2 weeks ago were living normal lives, were going to the hospital, which was still standing. Their kids were getting the treatment. They were going off to their jobs. They were looking forward to that promotion. They were looking to improve their homes and do a bit of DIY and go off on their holidays to wherever. It was all just normal life. And what are we after 2 weeks later? And the reason why the West is so shocked in Europe right now is because why? They look and sound exactly like us. Exactly like we are. We can project so easily that 2 weeks hence, could we be in that same position and predicament? That's the thing. And that unsettles the human mind and spirit, and it should do. Unless you're saved. See, what kind of worst that can happen to you and I? Well, we can be killed and go to be with Jesus. It's that simple, isn't it? We have hope. We have a surety of what is right and true. We haven't got to worry about, we've got an anchor for our life, an anchor for the soul. Hallelujah. This is the difference between what, this is what Jesus talked about in the parable where he talked about the wise man building his house upon the rock. Our house is built upon the rock. The religion and the religious people, even Christian religion, their houses are built on sand. And come the storms, and here we have an indication of a huge meteorological, physical, terrible storm that's out there, that we can stand firm, but the sandy soil is going to fall flat. The linchpin is truth. The linchpin is the Word of God. The linchpin is a people who trust and live and are in righteousness according to the Word of God, who desire to be like Jesus, who don't just say they believe the Word, but they put that Word into practice. That's the truth. That's a true man that will do that. The need, as was talked about to the Christian church, the problem that cropped up and has done throughout the ages, men seeking power, positions in the church to make money out of it, to have positions, all the rest of it, this is what comes in. But the ones that are right is what we need. They need to be dealt with and it needs to be right. We need to be focused on truth. Unfortunately, our land is full of false guides. What a disgrace that the church is not generally known for truth. The church should be the beacon of truth. And whilst I've talked a lot of negatives about what there are out there, the issue is, what about us? You see, you as an individual shine as a beacon on a hill in your workplace, in your home, in your community. You live by righteousness. You live in accordance for the word, in accordance with the Word of God. You are becoming in a position the way society has gone, where we have been, if you mentioned Jesus, so everything shut up and nobody wanted to know, and they called you a God botherer. I'm not sure what that means, but they do. A God botherer. I mean, God's more bothered about them than he is about the people that serve him. I can say that. You know, we're living in a place now where it was once now taboo. Now there are opportunities for the gospel. Now people's hearts are being stirred and their minds beginning to think, well, it might not work out as I thought life was going to work out. That there are things that are out there beyond my control. And perhaps I do need some certainty in my life, which the gospel provides by being that beacon of truth. The church is to be of a character and a place where Jesus Christ is to shine out despite the lies and all of the rest of it that's around about in society. I declare to you, Britain is a great place for the church. A great place for a trusting community to exist. A great place for the truth of the gospel to shine, particularly today in the day and age in which we live. John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another." There is a care within that community, which there is, isn't it wonderful? I asked many times, even as we've been dispersed with this awful pandemic, we put out prayer requests, and guess what? I know people are praying. And I know that the requests there are being looked at and people taking time out to pray for those very needs, and we still continue to see answers to prayer. It's wonderful. Why? Because we know this is a place of love. When there's care, when there's needs in the church, we hopefully try to meet them. Obviously, if we don't know the needs, it'll have to be God to prompt us otherwise. But many times it's what we can see practically around us, isn't it, to meet the needs. In this post-truth generation, we have a place of safety, a place of solace, a place of truth, a place of righteousness. The church of Jesus Christ. Faith has an overriding confidence in the ability of God to deal with things. That he hasn't lost the thread somehow. That he hasn't lost control. He hasn't taken his eye off the ball and the planet is going to hell in a handcart. He knows what's going on and he's predicted what will take place. We see it in his word. And if we don't understand it, it tells us it will be opened at the time when it's necessary. We see God involved in humanity. And ultimately, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So all the mess up that man's made will be done away with and restored, probably better. See, faith has given us, for the first time for so many in people's lives, a place where they can trust others, a place where they can find truth, a place where there is yes and amen. A people who practice what they preach and whose word is their bond. In a world full of deception, in a world full of mistrust, in a world full of ungodliness, here is a place that demonstrates a difference, a place of credibility where words and actions match. Amen. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is truth. His disciples must be true to him. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the abiding in the word that brings you the truth that sets you free. And this is what we need to have, isn't it? That abiding word of what Jesus has for us. That we live in accordance with the word of God. What of ourselves then? 1 Timothy 2:4. It says, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." That's what God wants. All men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You see, we recognize what the world is like, but we also recognize the power of God. We recognize God's ability that even in a place that where it's difficult and hard and disastrous, that he can give us a peace which passes understanding. A place beyond normal human reason and rationale that only God can provide. And how many times has he done that? He's done it so, if you've been saved any amount of time, you'll realize how God's intervened in our lives. How God's given us peace. And he doesn't take away the problems. We know we wish he did, but it isn't good for us. But he does take us through, doesn't he? We recognize what's out there, but we have our hearts guarded by the Lord, the word of truth. We make a choice of our wills to believe God, to take us past hurts and difficulties and broken hearts that have been, that can be mended by him, and all the lies and all the cynicism, to find here is a truth and here is something worth having. Scripture tells us, he who has the Son is free indeed. Do you have the Son this morning? If you do, you can say a big amen to that, because we're in a place of safety there. Not that it exempts us from the difficulties, but it puts us in a place where we can be strong of heart and strong of spirit, because our spirits are entwined with him. Finally, John 3:21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. See, we know our weakness, but when we do things, when we've come to the light, when we obey the truth, we can do things in God that are beyond us, far more than we're ever capable, far more than we can ever ask or think. God is able this morning. Let's pray that God will help us and strengthen us to live by the power of his word, to live in the truth, and to be lights in this dark time. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us, that your word indeed is truth. Help us to find our strength and our solace in you, Lord God, that whatever the circumstances of life might throw up, Lord, that we would not be weaker, but we would find strength in you. And Lord, that we might continue and be a light to others in this dark world. Amen.